Hello, lovely people. I'm Coy Wire. Welcome to CNN 10. It's Wednesday, December 4th, and that means one of you helped us write today's show. So listen up to see if we chose your unique word to help boost our vocab today. We've got an action-packed show, 10 minutes of news. Let's get to it. We start in South Korea, where President Yoon Suk-yeol declared martial law in a surprise TV address on Tuesday. In short, martial law is a temporary rule by military authorities in a time of emergency. Yoon is accusing the country's main opposition party of sympathizing with North Korea by taking actions he says are aimed at inciting a rebellion. Following the announcement, protests were seen outside the parliament, and South Korea's parliament had voted to block martial law. This is a developing story, and we'll have more on this in tomorrow's show. Next, today concerns are being raised over facial recognition, technology being powered by artificial intelligence used to identify a person from an image or video. Now, it's technology that's been around for quite some time, and it's part of some of our daily lives. We might use it to unlock our phones, access our virtual wallets, maybe even prove our identity to get in a shorter line at the airport. The convenience and security it offers are driving factors in its growing use. But while facial recognition technology is becoming more difficult to avoid in today's world, it is not foolproof. The tech raises privacy concerns, especially if facial images are collected without consent. Sometimes individuals can be misidentified due to factors like lighting or angles. And did you know that there have been occasions where that has led to the wrong people being accused of crimes? Algorithms can also carry the biases of the people who build them, leading to some demographics being targeted more than others. On top of all of this, there is little regulation over the technology and no guardrails governing how this sensitive data is collected, stored, and who has access to it. So some have concerns about the data falling into the hands of people with unscrupulous intentions. CNN's Sarah Seidner sat down with the CEO of Clear, the company that uses facial recognition and other biometric data like fingerprints to fast track your experience at the airport. Here's why she thinks facial recognition should be part of everyone's everyday life.
Karen Seidman-Becker is the CEO of Clear. You know, the company with the kiosks at the airport that allows you to skip the other lines for a fee.
So your company is really sort of a disruptor type of company. It's there, it's different, you go, you get your eyes scanned, you get your finger scanned. But once it got really popular, then we as customers started getting frustrated because the lines started getting long. What are you doing about that?
I always say we're obsessed with the member experience. We look at data all day long. We can see tons of trends. This has been a period of improved member experience over 2024. We expect to see that accelerate over the next 12 months as we roll out our face-first technology, which is really awesome. It's in about 12 airports today. It's been 2 weeks, and it is, five times as fast.
We asked to see that new tech.
So you're in line somewhere.
It was too fast. I'm done.
We clocked it. Less than 2 seconds.
I think the coolest thing that we're working on is really the concept of the secure identity network.
How could this end up making life easier, not just at the airport?
Not only can it make life easier, it is making life easier. So we want to go from using it multiple times a year in airports to multiple times a day. Today, let's just say you live in LA. You could use it getting into an Uber for rider verification within the rider app. And then let's say you're going to the Intuit Dome to watch a Clippers game with just your face and Clear, right? Because you are your age and your payment. You could check in at a doctor's office with your face. You're there for your appointment. What I see as the ultimate check-in at the doctor's office is your face is your appointment. It's your insurance card that's verified and validated. And then it is also your copay and your credit card.
Pop quiz hot shot. What aquatic soft-bodied invertebrates have growth rings similar to tree trunks that can determine their age? Jellyfish, sea anemone, coral, or octopus? Answer is coral, a colony of small animals which have similar ring-like growth patterns to trees visible within their skeletons. Throughout this week, Call to Earth is turning the spotlight on French Polynesia and an organization working to restore coral reef ecosystems around the world, Tetuan Bernicot. Started Coral Gardeners in 2017, cogitating over healthier oceans when he was just 18 years old as part of the Rolex Perpetual Planet Initiative. They are on a mission to plant 1 million corals worldwide by the end of 2025, a strategy they've dubbed Odyssey 2025.
This is Tiaia, one of three permanent ocean-based coral nurseries in Mauréa. As coral gardeners, both by company name and by profession, these sites are at the core of what they do on a daily basis.
Coral gardening is the coolest thing on earth. You are underwater. There is nobody talking. You hear the sound of the parrotfish, like the noise of the waves. You have those thousands of little coral fragments, and you have the fish. They become your co-workers. It's something so tangible. It's such a rewarding feeling to see your tiny coral fragment growing.
First on the day's to-do list is installing new underwater foundations, a task assigned to gardeners Loic and Johan.
I think that's the most physical part.
Meanwhile, team members Hannah and Salome collect data from the nearly 6,000 pieces growing in this part of the nursery alone.
We're looking at the overall health of each fragment for any signs of predation or disease and bleaching signs as well. And then the last part is out of all the corals that are growing, we have a subsample that we follow and monitor for growth.
Right now is also outplanting season, meaning there are healthy and heat-resilient coral ready to be relocated back onto the damaged reef. To preserve the health of the colony, they'll take no more than 10%.
Tayano and I will create a coral rope. That's the process of coral gardening. We have the tag, nursery number 2, rope number 1. That's how we do all the scientific monitoring behind.
And they say on average it will take 12 to 18 months for those fragments to grow big and healthy enough to make it back onto the nearby reef.
And there you go. It was our dream one day to have a job where you get paid to be on the water and taking care of the place we love the most. And we just made it happen. It wasn't a job, but now it's real. Conservation is not obliged to be a part-time job, only volunteering. So you can wake up every morning with one single priority and focus: how to save the most important place on earth.
Today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, is spaghetti so thin you could walk right pasta and not even see it. I know this may sound preposterous, but scientists have created a nanopasta invisible to the naked eye. While it may not make for a filling dinner, nanopasta's uses are full of possibilities. All right, I'm done. Here's CNN's Jeremy Roth.
Scientists at a UK university have created spaghetti so thin it's literally invisible to the naked eye. According to a published study, chemists at University College London successfully created nanopasta, spaghetti strands 200 times thinner than a human hair. But how? Well, where traditionally spaghetti is made by pushing a flour-water mixture through a metal press, the study says nanopasta is made by pulling threads of flour and liquid through the tip of a needle by an electric charge, producing strands so incredibly small, they can't be seen by the human eye or even conventional cameras and microscopes. The scientists say they don't see the process being useful for making palatable pasta, instead seeing potential for creating things like smart bandages and aiding bone regeneration.
All right, you all submitted so many good words for today's show that we had to pick two of them. Congrats to Daniel in Monroe, Louisiana at Neville High School in Coach Reynolds' class for unscrupulous, having or showing no moral principles. Well done, sir. And Mrs. Gibson's class at Bernice Iyer Middle School, you submitted cogitate, a verb meaning to think deeply about something. Thank you for making us two words smarter today. Our school shout out today is going to those titans at Northwest Cabarrus Middle School in Concord, North Carolina. Rise up. Have an awesome day, everyone. We'll see you right back here tomorrow on CNN 10.